Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We are departing from our series in the Psalms to remember the Lord's death in communion. And I'd like to speak on Acts chapter 2 to focus our minds about the context, really, of communion and the fellowship of believers. Let's pray together. Our dear Father in heaven, we lift up your name this evening because you are very great. We praise you for your creation all around us. It is beautiful and grand. We praise you, O Lord, that you have made us, and that even more, that you have redeemed us from our sins. Lord, we're grateful that you are a God that has revealed yourself not only in creation, but also in your word. And so as we come to hear from you, I pray that you would give us ears to hear what you have to say to us this evening. And Lord, many of us have been in church a long time. We have grown up in church. Lord, I pray that we would not despise your word or grow weary of it or find it boring. I pray that, O Lord, that it would be fresh and new to us because it's living and it is active. And I pray that we would listen to it and be changed. And I pray that you would do your transforming work in our hearts, but also in the church as a whole, as we submit ourselves to your word. We praise you for it, and in Jesus' name, amen. When I was in seminary, we lived on campus in these apartments called the New Apartments. And we signed up to rent these apartments before we even saw them. And I was like, oh, new apartments, they should be fine. But when we showed up, it was clear that they were new about 30 years in the past. They were a little bit newer than the older ones across campus. But we had, it was two stories, and our upstairs neighbor in these new apartments was a runner. And he would run marathons, and you've probably met people that run marathons. And so I was like, okay, that's interesting. But the more impressive thing was his running schedule on a daily basis for training, for marathons. He would run 8 miles in the morning, and then he would run 8 miles in the evening as well. And it's a lot of time commitment. If I did that, and I enjoy running somewhat, I would probably be preaching to you from a recliner or a bed or something like that. But this guy was devoted. And one afternoon during one of our delightful Midwestern thunderstorms, he went for a run, and it got green and gray outside, and his wife was very worried for his survival, so she took off in her car to find him, and she found him running, as he was, and he wouldn't get in the car. You know, guys, how we are. And yeah, she came home without him, and he ran home. This guy was devoted to running, and he was very, very thin, obviously, from all that running, but he did a very good job at his marathons because he trained. And he also, I think he also took seminary classes on the side as well. But as we think about devotion, about being devoted to something, in Acts chapter 2, the church and the early church is devoted to a few very important things. And I want to focus our attention on those four things this evening. And I do hope that you are familiar with this passage if you've been in church for a while. Acts 2, 42 to 47. Let me read that for us. Acts 2, 42 says, "And they continued steadfastly." That's the word to devote. It means to do the same thing continuously. So they were devoted to or continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We must remember that the church had just begun in this chapter, at the beginning of the chapter. Christ had ascended to heaven, and he told his followers to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. And so the day of Pentecost came, the Spirit came upon the disciples. Peter preached the sermon, and thousands of people got saved. It was an awesome start to the church. Now we find ourselves in our passage this evening about how they continued on as the church had just begun. And so my two main points this evening are, number one, the devotion of the church, and number two, the fellowship of the church. So the devotion of the church, it's they're continuing steadfastly in these four things. So briefly, these four things, very important. We should know what they are. We do practice them. So first, they were devoted to the apostles' doctrine or teaching. So simply, the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed by the apostles. It was their teaching about Christ from the Old Testament. We can read Acts 2 and Peter's preaching Christ from the Old Testament. Today, we don't have apostles, but we do have their teaching left over for us in the New Testament. So we as a church devote ourselves to the Word of God, especially to the gospel, which is the core of this teaching. So secondly, they were devoted to the fellowship. And each of these four things has a definite article on it. So the teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And this idea of fellowship is having something in common, having sharing life together. And we'll expand what fellowship means in the next point. Thirdly, they were devoted to the breaking of bread. And in the ancient context, this could simply mean eating together, sharing a meal together. But I believe it also refers to what we call communion. And I believe so because if you look down here in verse 46, it says that they were continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So breaking of bread is part of their meeting together and eating together. So I believe it's not referring to their meals, but to breaking the bread in remembering the Lord's death. And that also has its, breaking the bread also means that in the New Testament. So then lastly, they were devoted to the prayers. And remember, these are all Jewish Christians at this point, and so they had set times of prayer. So it could refer to their set times of prayer or praying together as they met. We're not really sure, but what did they do? They prayed, and that's important. And I love the result of their devotion to these four simple things. Verse 43, and fear or awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So there's this people around in Jerusalem. So this is in context of a city, so it's very visible. People are seeing what's happening, and there's miracles being done. And people are starting to notice what is happening in this community of Christians, and they hold them in high regard. They have a fear of all of this growing group of disciples. So that's the devotion of the church or the disciples. Let's look at the fellowship of the church and the disciples. What is fellowship? We use it. We're having a fellowship time after the service. Now, I was at a wedding. I attended a wedding reception when I was in Illinois. And there was a good number of unsaved people there. So this is not a church gathering. And there was a pastor there, and he was asked to pray for the meal. And in his prayer, he asked God to bless the time of fellowship we are about to have together. He probably would have said that wasn't the best choice of words if he pressed him on it. But he did say it and made me think, what is fellowship? There was conversation there. There was certainly food. There was also, unfortunately, jokes told, that would make a sailor blush. So it was, and then there was other things that happened that say, let's get out of here, you know, before it gets any worse. So this was not a Christian gathering. Did fellowship happen? Not at all. Not at all. Not true Christian fellowship, that is. Fellowship is having something in common. And in this context, it's sharing life together. Sharing life together. Spending time together is part of it. Eating is part of it. We see this in this passage. But Christian fellowship is first based on what we have in common together, and that is Jesus Christ. We have him in common together. This is a group of people saved by Jesus doing life together. And I think today we would often want to call it community almost. And in the rest of this passage, 43 to 47, is really unpacking what it means to have fellowship together. So I think we have a very narrow definition when we talk about conversation together. Yes, it's that, but it's doing life together in many senses of the word. So this fellowship is this community together based on around Jesus Christ. And what did it look like? Four simple points here of what it looked like in this passage. What did their fellowship look like? So first, it looked like giving. People sold their possessions and gave to those in need. This was a special time in the church. Remember, the church had just begun. There was a lot of excitement, and there was people that had traveled hundreds of miles to come to the Feast of Pentecost that had got saved, and then they're staying here in Jerusalem. So you have a very interesting context where people are very needy. So people would sell their possessions and give to those who are in need. We could go down that road and see what did that look like and what were the results, but we don't have time for that this evening. But Christians have always been marked by generosity toward one another. We know that. And I thank God that that this church is generous in their giving. So they gave. Number two, they met together. They met together in the temple. Remember, there was 3,000 that got saved, and then day by day, more people were getting saved. You can't just have come over to have a church fellowship at my house. It's not going to work. So they gathered in the temple, as these were mostly Jews that were saved. So it was logical for them to meet together in the temple. And they also met in their houses together. They ate together. They ate their meals with gladness and joy. So carry-in lunches and suppers and potlucks, they're biblical. It's based on this passage and others. And fourthly, they praised God. They ate with joyful hearts together. And verse 47, praising God. And they, in verse 46, they ate their meat or their food with gladness and singleness of heart. And there's a result here of their fellowship or community together. They had favor with all the people. So they had fear and they had favor. Also in chapter 5, it says that the people held the Christians in high esteem. Even though they were a little afraid to go and attend the gatherings, they said, wow, that's very interesting that's happening. They feared them, they had favor, and they held them in esteem. Now, this wasn't going to last forever because persecution breaks out against the early church with the stoning of Stephen. I just love this picture of fellowship. Isn't it beautiful to see the community that the early church had? It was irresistible to the people outside. Like, wow, that's some interesting things going on. Life together as Christians should look like this. And this is the picture in Acts 2, 42 to 47. I want us to have this picture as we gather together. This is the goal. We're aiming for this kind of community together. And this is the kind of community we should build as we gather together around Jesus Christ. So just two points of application as we wind this up before the Lord's Supper. Verse 42 is very instructive for us as a church. What are we devoted to as a church? It's very easy to get sidetracked by good things that are not the best for the church to do. We can easily run around like crazy managing programs and events and activities and have no time or energy left for what is most important And that's what is in verse 42. We live in a busy and a confused culture. I think you'd agree with that. Let's not import that into the church. The church should be a place that they know what is essential for us to do together as a church. And there's a certain, I think, sanity to doing church God's way. Saying, we do what God says, and we don't have to say, you know, what does the culture want us to do? And let's import that. No. What does God want us to do as a church? And in verse 42, it gives us the word, prayer, fellowship, and communion. That must be the core of what we do. Now, certainly we do other things together as a church, but what's essential, let's keep it essential, let's keep it core to what we're doing. And I'm very grateful that this church has organized itself in such a way to keep the important things important. We meet together to hear God's word. We devote ourselves to the teaching of the New Testament and the Old Testament. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Sunday school, and Wednesday evening. All opportunities to hear God's word, and that's awesome. There are many churches that are not doing that today. We have devoted ourselves to hearing God's word, and I praise God for that. Also, hearing, talking to you individually, and you talk about what you're reading in God's word, that's awesome. Devote yourself to the word. And I'm grateful also for our prayer meeting. There are many churches that do not have prayer meetings. We don't have prayer meeting on Wednesday evening because, you know, there's nothing good to do. Everyone's bored sitting at home. There's nothing good on TV. So why don't we just have a prayer meeting instead of sitting home around twiddling our thumbs? No, prayer meeting was begun, I believe, because prayer is a priority for the church. And I praise God for it. It's a tradition. Wednesday night prayer meeting, it's a tradition. But it's a tradition full of life and power. And I would have to say prayer meeting is my favorite service here. And I think I just am so encouraged when I go away praying with my brothers and sisters in Christ. We devote ourselves to communion 12 times a year. We set aside time to remember, to break bread together, to remember the Lord's death. And my hope is to devote Sunday evening communion 6 times a year to thinking about the Lord's death specifically, or communion specifically in the message. We devote ourselves to fellowship. Think of the benevolent offering that we're going to take up after the communion service. That's a way we give. That's fellowship. We share in common things. Financially is one way to do that. And it's a very helpful fund to encourage those and help those who are in need. We eat together as a church, inside the church walls and outside the church walls. I am very grateful for those who have invited us over. We're glad to have people over to our house. Those are fantastic times of fellowship, sharing life together as Christians. We work together, we sing together, we laugh together, we share life together as a church. And really, I wanted to say, why are we having this fellowship time after Sunday evening service? I want to really connect this fellowship time with the Lord's Supper, because when we share in the Lord's Supper, it shows us we have Christ in common. And the fellowship time is just a way to say we share life together as a church. And I'm not sure if it was often or always, the early church would have a meal around the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11, they would get together to eat and to break bread and remember the Lord's death. And that's the model this fellowship time is based on. So what are we devoted to as a church? And praise God for the faithfulness that the church has over the years to the word, prayer, fellowship, and communion. I would like to ask, second point in the question, what will the Lord do? I didn't finish our passage here. Verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. God used this group of brand new Christians, devoted to the things of the Lord, living in community, to draw people to himself. I would like to call us to always purpose ourselves to be devoted to these things in Acts 2:42. I would like to call us to always purpose to have community together, life together as a church based around Jesus Christ. What will God do if we devote ourselves to the things that He has given us to do? We must remember that Christianity is not magical. If we devote ourselves to these four things, people are going to get saved in droves. No? The Lord does the saving. That's what it says. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. But do not be mistaken. The Lord does not work apart from these things. He works through the proclamation of the gospel, through the compelling, loving community of the church to draw people to Himself. So don't say, because it's not magical, it doesn't seem to always work, that we shouldn't do it. No. God uses what we do to draw people to Himself through the gospel that we proclaim. So yes, the Lord works, but also yes, we must be devoted to these things. So I would like to encourage us and call us to make sure that the main thing is always the main thing. It's easy to get sidetracked. We're sinners. We go down our own path sometimes and forget what the main thing is. I want us to call us to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord to work. To be devoted to these things, yes. Go after them 100%. But also say, you know, Lord, You've got to work. You've got to bless our efforts if people are going to come to Jesus Christ. So I love this passage, and I hope you've enjoyed it as well. Let's pray together. Our dear Father in heaven, we come to you grateful for your word. Thank you for this compelling picture of the early church in Acts 2. And I pray, O Lord, that we would be devoted to these things and that you would work. I pray that we would cling to you to work in our midst as we devote ourselves to the word and to prayer, as we live together in community, and as we remember your death on our behalf. Oh Lord, I pray that you would bless our efforts and that you would bring people to yourselves. I pray that we would not all only stand fast on the gospel, but that we would proclaim it. And I pray that people would be drawn to Jesus Christ through the gospel message. And I also pray that they would see that we have a loving community together as Christians, and that they would see that you indeed have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. So I pray that people would know that we are your disciples because of the love that we have for one another. So I pray as we come to the Lord's Supper, to communion, that we would focus our eyes on Christ, and that you would knit us together, bind us together in unity. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.